much about.
Let's get this party started.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
It's just that you've got to be careful these days.
Yeah, I know.
Do you? I thought I knew too. Until one night I was checking out this discotheque. The one in the bowling alley on 15 Mile. I met this girl. She seemed really nice. We danced a bit. I kissed her. One thing led to another. And now I get sores on my lip once a month. I have herpes. Doesn't hurt that much, but believe me, you don't want it.
Can I please go now?
It just blew your mind, didn't it?
And now, we eat ribs and whatnot and listen to salsa music. You see what I'm coming from?
Our feature presentation.
That is the way to start a week right there.
Right?
That's the way to get off on the right foot.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Survived?
Yeah. Boy, I got so sunburned. I can't wait to trade sunburn stories with Ralph, because I understand he was in just as bad a shape as I was on Saturday.
I noticed by like 3 o'clock your face was really red.
I was pretty red. Yeah. Well, I'm a moron for not putting sunscreen on, as my wife advised me to do.
Sure.
But, you know, you just think, I'm only going to be out there for a couple of hours. How can it hurt? And boy, did it hurt. And boy, was I dizzy at night. It was just bad. Dizzy. Kevin was smart. Kevin was slathered, man.
He had no problems. I have the weeniest skin of all of you.
You don't look like you were in the sun.
If I don't take a bath, you know, an SPF 70 or whatever it is, if I don't take a bath in that, I'm bright red within like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Everyone I saw yesterday when I got home was all pretty much just laughing at me because I got this big red face,
big red
clown nose.
This is one of those things that happens to everybody.
I know.
And is only 100%. You know,
avoidable.
Preventable.
Of course. Yes. Oh, I blame myself, as I do so often. I got pretty darned sunburnt there, I'll tell you that. But good times with the Weeding Rose. Of course, we'll be talking about that a lot today. Had some fun things happen.
Mm-hmm.
First, though, if you guys are ready for another in the long line of the worst national anthem renditions ever.
Love it.
We have a very difficult song to sing in this country, and it's even harder if you're, I don't know, Canadian, and you're singing it, and there's no one in the crowd to help you out. No one in the crowd to jump in and try to sing along, because what the hell do they know the words to our anthem, right? This, Kevin, was it's called the Memorial Cup. It is the National Junior Hockey Tournament that was going on over the weekend.
Okay.
It's two of your favorites, the Halifax Mooseheads.
Oh, they're the best.
You love the Mooseheads.
Yes.
We're playing against the Portland Winterhawks.
Don't like them.
And this woman, unfortunately, we do not have her name, although her rendition is being called a star-mangled banner on the internet. She is Canadian, and she sang O Canada, and she also sang the U.S. version of that. And it didn't go maybe perhaps as well as she would have liked. And if I could only find the tape. Okay, here we go.
That'd be great.
Her problem is that she just forgets the words. She just blanks out on the words and just keeps going. That's what her problem is.
Oh, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's lover's gleaming?
All right, that's the crack. That's the crack in the cement right there.
Yes.
Now she's about to fall through it.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars know the perilous night. Whose broad stripes and bright stars.
Let's try that line again. Well, she couldn't even come up with Rocket's Red Glare.
What'd she say? Rocks what?
Who knows? I think she's just mumbling, just slurring.
The
Now the crowd's coming in to help her. Big finish.
She saved it.
There she goes. And I'm actually kind of sad because they cut off the video the second she's done, right here. Boom, it's done. I would have loved to have seen her face as she walked back, you know, off the ice. Yeah. Would have loved to see what her reaction was, realizing what she had just done.
She hung in there.
That's awesome.
I admire that.
She did. I mean, she had to keep going. She couldn't just quit and walk away. Although it sounded like that one point in the middle where she just stopped. It sounded like she was just giving up. But it was funny because one of the comments is the video version appears on Deadspin.com. One of the comments was a Canadian who was there and said, look, you can't hear it very well on the tape, but we did try to help her out. We tried to jump in and help those of us that knew the lyrics. But then she would start singing the wrong part or the wrong verse. And so it wouldn't help her at all.
She also made the huge mistake of going back and trying to start a little earlier in the song again. Why would you do that? Keep moving forward.
Well,
those are the only words you remember.
You're completely lost, yeah.
You just got to come up with something. So that definitely goes into the Hall of Fame, right?
Yes,
absolutely.
That was great.
Zero for effort, zero for style, zero for star quality.
Right.
And you know what? I'm being generous.
All right.
It's about right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
I don't even know what you just said.
The surprise guest at the K-Rock Winning Roast 2013 was STP with their new lead singer, Chester Bennington.
Yes.
Say what? It was a little weird.
A little weird.
Little WTF moment.
It's like we were playing Rock Band Roulette or something where we each say, okay, take one from column A and one from column B and make them perform together.
Because you see STP, you think it's Weiland. You see Chester, you think it's, you know, Linkin Park.
Your head starts to spin.
It was a bizarre mashup.
So we went backstage and we talked to him, and we've got that interview to air this morning.
Okay.
To give you all the details, and if you have any questions about albums and touring and what does this mean for Linkin Park and blah, blah, blah.
Does Scott Weiland know?
Questions like that. It was nice. So we got that coming up this morning. Also, we have Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, that's right.
Good.
We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
We have Weenie Roast Highlights, plus your phone calls. And we have from the Los Angeles Kings, number 25, Dustin Penner.
Awesome.
Talking about the second round of the playoffs against San Jose. Game number 4 is tomorrow night. So very excited about that as well. We will take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Now that the Weenie Roast is...
Take two.
Take two. Now that the Wiener Roast is behind us, we are sending you away to destination number one of the K-Rock. I guess it's the K-Rock Festival Flyaway is what they're calling it. This time in Japan, you guys, it's a festival. We are hooking you up with Muse, Metallica, Linkin Park, Imagine Dragons, Smashing Pumpkins, just to name a few. How's that for a lineup?
That's awesome.
Unbelievable.
Got tickets for you multiple times throughout the day, including right here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:10 this morning. Your chance to qualify, get on the standby boarding list. Details at krock.com. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Is Weiland in Linkin Park now?
No.
They didn't do a straight-up trade?
They did not, no.
Well, it seems unfair to Linkin Park, then.
Still doing both.
I got to spend a little bit of time with the mustache. Hadn't seen much of the mustache since it appeared on your face there, Ralph, but I enjoyed hanging out with it on Saturday.
Mustache isn't like you, he told me.
Really?
I thought the mustache and I got along.
Who's that giant weird dude staring at me? He felt uncomfortable. Imagine that.
He was undressing the mustache with his eyes.
He was. He was taking it one follicle at a time. He was just peeling it off. It is Monday morning. You know what that means. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, Star Trek Into Darkness was number one this weekend. $70.6 million in its debut. A solid opening. No Iron Man 3, but a solid opening nonetheless. Iron Man 3 was second at the box office, $35.2 million. Then The Great Gatsby with $23.4 million. Good showing for that film a couple weeks in. Pain and Gain was fourth. The Croods was fifth. Then 42, Oblivion, Mud, Tyler Perry Presents Peoples, and The Big Wedding rounding out your top 10.
That 42 has some remarkable staying power, doesn't it?
Yes.
That's a real surprise that that's still doing so well.
Gatsby doing very well for itself also. It did a better overseas in its second week than Star Trek did.
No kidding.
Pulling in about $42 million in 49 different countries. Star Trek Into Darkness, by the way, if you want to factor in the Thursday opening day, because they did open a day early, all told, for the 4 days, it's a little over $84 million. So made about half their production cost back. Not too shabby. Congratulations to 30 Rock's Katrina Bowden. She tied the knot with her musician boyfriend Ben Jorgensen on Sunday. She, of course, played Sherry on 30 Rock, the assistant. And he is the former lead singer and guitarist of Armor for Sleep. You know that band out of Jersey?
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't either.
They've been engaged for nearly 2 years. They're headed to Hawaii for their honeymoon, and they will likely never work in their chosen professions again. Who's going to fill in the judges' seats on American Idol? Star Magazine's reporting that producers are having conversations with Joe Jonas, Fergie,
all right,
and Gwen Stefani.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
What's Gwen doing in that mix? Get out of there, Gwen. You're better than that.
She seems too nice, too.
You're better than that, Gwen. Get out. Get out.
This seemed like the thing that we're going to hear rumors about every single celebrity for the next
Eventually, it'll
2 months.
Down to you guys. It'll come back. Kevin and Bean also rumored to be sitting
I don't think
the
they would like us.
Oh, that'd be the best.
Well, it's official. Justin Bieber's monkey is now officially a German citizen.
Aww.
Bieber ditched his pet monkey in Germany and never returned to pick it up. He still owes them several $1,000s in vet bills, food, and care, by the way, for the abandoned primate. But
which I'm sure he'll pay.
German authorities are not expecting to get their money back.
Here's the kind of year he's had. This is such a dick move, but it probably doesn't make the top five of dick moves that Justin Bieber's had lately.
Yeah. Molly the monkey is now subject of the Federal Republic of Germany. Deutschland über alles, Molly.
Molly is so much better off right now.
She will likely be sent to live in some kind of primate rescue facility rather than a zoo because officials worry that she's already traumatized, and if they publicize that Bieber's monkey's in the zoo, everyone will come there and taunt it by singing baby, baby, baby to it or something horrible like that. So, it's sad. You know, Bieber wants us to stop talking about this kind of stuff.
Well, stop doing it.
He wants us to focus on the fact that he is an artist and ignore all the douchebag things he does because he's a true artist. Want to hear it from his own mouth?
Yes, please.
Here you go.
I'm 19 years old. I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
All right.
This is not a gimmick. This is not a gimmick. I'm an artist, and I should be taken seriously, and this all this other bull should not be spoken of.
Wow. Is it bull?
Should not be spoken of. Really?
You will not speak of it in my kingdom.
Wow.
In the kingdom of Bieber. You know, at the minute you say I'm an artist and I should be taken seriously,
yes,
negates any chance in my mind of you ever being taken serious by me like an artist.
Yes.
You know, agreed. Dave Grohl has never once had to say, you know what? I'm an artist,
right?
And I should be appreciated and take it seriously because he's just great, and so we know that he's an artist. We recognize that, and we treat him seriously.
Right. He's earned it, and he deserves it.
Right. This kid should just shut up and do something that's not BS pop music, and maybe we'll think you're an artist.
Who knew he was a stutterer?
I think he was a little bit taken aback. That was from the Billboard Music Awards last night, of course, and I think he was a little bit taken aback by the fact that almost every time his name got mentioned from the stage or from the announcer, he got booed.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well,
so I think he felt like he was going
world.
Up. I think felt like he was kind of going up there, you know, to an unfriendly audience.
Boos, I love it.
Boos should not be spoken of.
You sound like an unbelievable douche.
Did you happen to see the clip of what happened backstage with Taylor Swift and Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber, Ralph? Did you happen to see that?
No, sir. I don't watch
Because you know that Selena and Taylor are best friends, right?
Besties, yeah.
But
BFFs.
Taylor, wisely, hates Justin Bieber.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So she's backstage, and Justin and Selena are kissing each other. And she walks by and sticks her tongue out, and the face that she makes, the disgust in her face when she sees them kissing each other, I think that's going to cause troubles with her and Selena.
You realize you sound like a 14-year-old girl right now, right?
You know
well,
why?
These are all celebrities in the news.
14-year-old girl.
I appreciate that she's as grossed out by the Biebs as the rest of us.
Well, she should have left before she started World War II. That's all I'm saying. And we finally got to the bottom of what happened to Farrah Abrams' bikini.
Oh, okay.
Thank goodness.
Farrah Abrams, rather.
She's getting ready to bid.
Well, you know, it was on eBay, and we were all excited about it. We were all going to buy it and make soup out of it. Remember that? Remember we had that conversation?
That was your plan.
Oh,
yeah.
And then it just disappeared. Then one day, just boom, disappeared.
Gone.
It reached $14,700 in bids, and then boom, just disappeared.
Now, were you going to PayPal that, or how were you going to pay for that, Ralph?
I was going to do it in trade.
Okay.
Trade.
Yeah. I don't know. eBay has released a statement and said they did remove the item due to, and this is their words, not mine, health and hygiene concerns. They did advertise that the swimsuit had never been washed, so I guess eBay said our only other choice was to surround it by red hazmat tape with a sign that keeps StayFact 200 feet. So we understand why they pulled it off. Just think, $15,000 for a bikini.
Yeah.
A year from now, she'll accept half of that to do your entire bachelor party.
That's
in the back
true.
Of a parted bus. Today's celebrity birthday is Busta Rhymes. He's 41 years old today. The people love him. Do they?
No.
Anyone? Timothy Oliphant. How good's he on Justified?
He's great.
Justified. 45 years old today. Bronson Pinchot. Remember him from Perfect Strangers?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Cousin Larry. He was Balky on that show.
Sure.
Yeah.
Was that Banana in the Tailpipe? Is that him?
No, that's not sexy. With that chest hair.
Oh, yeah.
Animal. That's him. Surge. Cher is 67 years old today. I have no idea how to gauge Cher's age anymore.
67?
She has become this odd creature now, this just bizarre thing. Sometimes she looks 20, sometimes she looks 80. She's like a mood ring.
It's been the worst. 67 since I was born.
No, she has.
You know what?
She
has.
Stop it.
She was a beautiful, beautiful woman when you were born, by the way, Kevin. But she's out making the rounds right now because I guess she's got a book or a record or something out with her mom. Her mom is still alive.
What?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And her mom is singing a bunch of songs and she's good, right?
That's what I hear. I haven't heard it. But isn't that crazy? She's 67. She's out doing stuff with her mom.
That's nuts. And legendary R&B soul singer Joe Cocker celebrates his 69th birthday today. I said Cocker in 69. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Coming up in about a half an hour, the first interview, a world exclusive with Chester Bennington of Linkin Park singing with Stone Temple Pilots. What the future is going to be for those two together. That's coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show on KRI. Actually, that sounds like something that our old friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com might even be interested in. Hi, Harvey. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, guys. I am so good. I was in New York this weekend, and we launched the TMZ New York tour. And it is awesome.
Oh, that's the bus for tourists there that take them all around to the famous places?
It is so, I'm telling you, it is so much fun. It is just, I'm telling you, it's as good as a Broadway show. I mean,
Well, take it easy.
But not Book of Mormon, though, right? It's not as good as Book of Mormon.
Not Book of Mormon, but there are like a lot of other shows.
Well, New York is probably the only other city in America that has as many notable spots that you would want to point out as a TMZ fan. So,
Super fun. Guys, we take you to the Lindsay Lohan terror zone.
Nice. Well, we're going to New York later this summer. We're talking about going anyway for the MTV Video Music Awards. If we do, we totally have to take the tour. That would be super, super fun.
So listen,
Harvey, welcome back. Great to have you. Congratulations on expanding the tour. We had a couple things we wanted to talk to you about as time permits. And the first thing I need to ask you to do is do us a favor, because we have not been following this Wayne Robson story. And the reason I say that is because he's the latest guy who's accusing Michael Jackson of molestation. And every time something like this happens, I think, how did it happen and then years go by and now he sets forward? And that always just sets off the BS alarm in my head. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, you know, if he would have, we were told, I mean, we broke the story, and we were told that this was a repressed memory case. He went on TV last week and said, no, it's not repressed memory. I remembered every single thing Michael did to me. I just didn't realize it was molestation. That's where I think he's lost a lot of people. Yeah, well, that's the weird thing. It's like, okay, you testified when you were 22-ish years old in the criminal trial. I mean, you knew that at the criminal trial, when people were doing things to them that they did to you, and people were saying that's criminal molestation, that's your first clue that there's a problem. Yet he kept saying he didn't do it. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. So if he really did remember, now you're in a situation where somebody essentially is a perjurer, and that doesn't help his case. But
yeah,
he said now, between the ages of 7 and 14, Michael molested him.
Oh, that was going to be my next question, is what the ages were. And then did he end up having some sort of a professional relationship with him as an adult, as a choreographer or something
Yeah, I mean, look, Wade Robson turned out to be an extremely successful choreographer. I mean, he did work for Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, Usher, all sorts of people and groups. And he was on So You Think You Can Dance. I mean, he's been around. And he did work with Michael. I mean, Michael brought him over to the United States. And we have found out that, you know, because he waited so long to file a creditor's claim, that he may end up what he's done is he's secretly filed a civil lawsuit. And it looks like what he's going to do is sue Michael Jackson's corporations, the record label, as well as the music video label. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to get into civil court, even if they throw him out of probate court because he waited so long. So
gotcha.
he wants to sue, but ultimately, you know, everybody says, "What's this case about?" It's about money.
Yeah, because there's no vindication, obviously, when the perpetrator, right. the alleged perpetrator, is dead. So he's trying to get some money, and there's no statute of limitations in a civil case. Is that the deal?
No, there is a statute of limitations. It's just more complicated. In the probate case, you have to file within 6 months of the time probate is open, and he's missed that by years. And he's
going
to try to argue that he didn't realize what had happened until recently. But that's a hard argument to make in probate court. It's easier to make in civil court.
Gotcha. This is the voice of Harvey Levin on TMZ.com. In our remaining minute, I want to ask you this, because I watched some of that Billboard Music Awards last night,
yep.
and by all appearances, and of course you never know the way the thing is shot, it looks like Chris Brown is back and adored again. What's up with that?
I don't think Chris Brown has ever not been adored at venues like that. I mean, even when it was much closer to Rihanna, he was getting major, major applause. They, you know, people don't want to, they just don't want to shake their image. And you know, the funny thing is, it's not dissimilar to Michael Jackson. We put a lot of polls up on the weekend asking about Wade Robson versus Michael Jackson, and people don't want to remember him as a child molester. They
right.
want to remember him a certain way. And it's the same thing with Chris Brown. They don't want to think of him as a guy who beats women. A lot of the people, you know, in the record business, you think he's talented, and I guess he is talented, but they don't want that sullied by, you know, what he did to Rihanna.
Now, do you think that his reputation, though, will suffer another hit now that apparently he and Rihanna are broken up again and he's going to be out there playing the
yeah.
playing the field and showing up with lots of other chicks? Because in a way, it kind of looked like, well, at least all is ends that, you know, whatever that old expression is about all ends that wells or however, you know what I mean.
All's well that ends well.
Thank
yes.
you, Bean. That was well done.
Thank you
and
for that.
A moment with us, boy.
Dax saw you guys at the Weenie Roast. They didn't realize
right.
there was so much going on there.
Dax is the best.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with Dax. So, anyway, all right, I know you got to go to your meeting, Harvey. You are awesome. Congratulations on the New York City tour, and thank you for coming on. We'll talk to you in a week, dude.
Okay, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye now. Dustin Penner from the Los Angeles Kings joins us later on today. Plus, we've got a chance for you to qualify for the Summer Sonic Festival in Tokyo, Japan. We fly you there. You get to see Muse, Metallica, Linkin Park, Imagine Dragons, and so much more. Details at KROQ.com. Right now, though, Monday morning, time for a brand new Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
Ugh. So much sweet death. We're not even going to have time to get to the woman who choked to death on a hot dog at a Cubs game. We're not even gonna, we don't even have room to include her.
No.
Is that a euphemism?
No, unfortunately not, Kevin. Oh. That's how she really went. In the beginning of the game, before the first pitch, by the way, while she was sitting in the stands, she didn't even get to see the game. Richard Swanson gets us started on this edition of Bean's Death Corner. 42 years old. Had a great idea. He planned to dribble a soccer ball from his home in Seattle, Washington, all the way to Brazil. He was trying to promote an organization called One World Football. They donate soccer balls to developing countries.
Did you say it was a great idea?
Great idea,
okay.
Yeah. Because here's a guy who loves soccer and loves this charity and decides he's going to take it upon himself to do something and dribble a soccer ball for 10,000 miles. Set up a website and everybody so people could follow his journey. Well, that journey ended on Tuesday as he was hit by a pickup truck while walking south on U.S. Highway 101 in Lincoln City, Oregon. Hit by a truck and declared dead at a local hospital.
Oh, he only made it one state.
Yeah, he went from Washington to Oregon. His last quote was, "I felt destined that I should go on this trip," before he was hit by the car. So that's
when you feel like a dick. If you were the guy in the pickup truck.
If you hit him, yeah.
Kill the guy out there with the charity, yeah.
Oh.
Here's perhaps the worst end ever for a honeymoon. A French couple was on a honeymoon, and I'll never be able to pronounce this. I can barely speak English these days, much less French. But he's in the French Indian Ocean island of Reunion on a beach called Brissant de Saint-Gilles.
Sure.
Well, they're on their honeymoon, and he was eaten by a shark. Wow. God. While his new life lay on the beach nearby, the shark reportedly charged at the man twice, biting him in the arms and thigh before a nearby swimmer raised the alarm, alerting lifeguards. He dragged the man to the shore. He had lost too much blood, went into cardiac and respiratory arrest, and died on the beach. That's the worst honeymoon ever, right?
Man. I would guess that's certainly in the running, yes.
That's no bueno right there. Here's a story out of Japan. You don't expect to see this before, but you know how sometimes a police officer will have to jump on top of the suspect in order to restrain him while they get the handcuffs on?
Right, right.
Well, that's what happened with this 220 pound police officer trying to subdue an out-of-control woman. The police had received a disorderly conduct call about a woman throwing things and screaming. They're reportedly heavy-set policemen. And I guess in Japan, 220 is probably a big dude,
huge,
right?
Huge, huge.
They rushed to the scene with fellow officers, found the woman was still out of order. They pinned the woman to the ground in an attempt to subdue her. The heavyset police officer assisted by sitting on the woman's back. Soon thereafter, the woman lost consciousness, was taken to the hospital, and died of hypoxia ischemic encephalopathy 5 days later. So they basically cut off oxygen to her brain is what happened, yeah. Just by sitting on her to put the handcuffs on.
Killed by fat ass.
By a fat police officer. A formal investigation is now in progress to determine whether the police officer used excessive force. So, yeah, negligence resulting in the death of a suspect. And finally, on this Beans Death Corner, I'm going to read this story, even though it has now been exposed as a hoax, because I get it about 5 to 10 times a day in my email. People are obsessed with this story. Unfortunately, again, it did turn out not to be true. But if it were, oh, how great would this be? A man named Hase, said to be found dead in Sweden with 146 sting marks on his body, including 54 to his genitals. His body was found by a neighbor in the town of Astad, who, according to the online publication, said that the man was so swollen he initially mistook him for a whale carcass. He was unconscious when found, but died an hour later after the injuries he sustained. Apparently, he was having sex with a hornet's nest, according to the story.
Oh, that would be sweet.
The neighbor said, I walked up to the body. I recognized the tattoo on his neck. I had never in my life seen such a swollen pelvic bone. It hid the whole package, and the scrotum was enlarged. Right now, it feels heavy and unreal. We did not talk often, but still, he was my neighbor. A supposed autopsy of the man's body allegedly showed semen on some of the wasps, and a number of the victim's pubic hair was found to the entrance of the nest. His fingerprints were also found on the nest, leading police to believe he was trying to have sex with a hornet's nest when he was stung to death. Here's my favorite quote from a psychologist quoted in the article. To attempt to have intercourse with a hornet's nest is a very bad idea. Well, I think that we can all agree with that. Unfortunately, that one is not true, but still, it's a sweet, sweet death. And that rounds out this edition of Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Chester Bennington singing for Stone Temple Pilots. What's that about? We had the first interview right after their performance Saturday night at the K-Rock Weenie Roast, and you will hear it coming up next from their own words here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning. It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office like we do each and every day. As expected, Star Trek Into Darkness was number one at the box office this weekend. If you figure in it's Thursday opening day, which the other films didn't. Yeah, they don't account for that in these numbers, but if you do that, it's $84 million since Thursday.
Long live and prosper.
That's how it's done.
Right?
Learn, kids. $70.6 million if you're just looking at Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Iron Man 3 was second. The Great Gatsby was third. Pain and Gain, and then The Croods, 42. Oblivion, Mud, Tyler Perry Presents, and The Big Wedding, rounding out the rest of your top 10. Bad news for fans of EDM. The Crystal Method have put their new album on hold because the group's co-founder, Scott Kirkland, recently had brain surgery.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Dude. He needs to rest. So the Method's fifth album has been delayed along with a few tour dates, but they're expecting him to make a full recovery. So hopefully it will happen sooner than later. Medical problems for George Michael. Remember him?
Barely.
Sure.
How can you barely remember George Michael? One of the biggest stars in the world at one time.
It's been a long time.
But he was one of the biggest stars in the world. You don't barely remember him.
I remember him. I remember every second of his
That's
life.
That's what I'm saying. Father figure, freedom, faith.
I remember him getting arrested for falling asleep in his car.
Well, he was doing, don't get me wrong, he does a lot of drugs. And a lot of dudes.
Yeah.
In men's rooms at parks. Uh-huh. Remember he had that problem too?
Right.
This time they found him again, Lisa, problem in his car.
Whoa.
In his Range Rover. in the UK riding on Friday on the M1 motorway. He crashed, but here's the problem. There were no other cars involved in the accident.
Yeah. He just crashed by himself.
George just either nodded off or went bye-bye and...
Oh, my God.
Hit the center divider, got a nasty head injury, and had to be airlifted to a hospital. Spokesperson said, George will be just fine.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
Let's get George a driver,
shall
we?
Been better. Does he have money to get a driver?
Sure, of course he does.
Well, come on.
He's got nothing but money.
Nothing but money. Yeah, they can't force him to get a driver, but they can restrict him from driving, and they certainly should at this point. And it was one of those accidents that tied up a major, you know, interstate for 5 hours or something like that.
Yeah, the M1 is like
ridiculous.
The 405 is to us; it's a major thoroughfare. So that was problematic.
It was a dick move.
You guys happy that Trace Adkins won All-Star Celebrity Apprentice? I know you guys were all on the edge of your chair watching.
Oh,
I know you were following
I'm actually
all season long.
Very disappointed that our little friend Penn Jillette didn't win.
Yeah, Trace Adkins won the big one. So can we just let that go now? Can we just stop pretending Celebrity Apprentice is a thing?
I've had it with Donald Trump, I'll tell you that.
Me too. Do you remember one of our favorite documentaries of all time, The King of Kong?
Yes.
About the two guys who were battling for supremacy of who had the highest score ever playing Donkey Kong.
That's
one of those bizarro worlds that you didn't know existed.
And how great was that documentary?
It was great. It was really good.
It was great.
Well,
Kevin remembers that, but not George Michael, by the way, I'd like to point out.
Well, once again, turning our eyes towards the phenomenon that has become Kickstarter, I wanted to give you the heads up that the producer of The King of Kong is working on a new documentary, which I think we would love just the same. It's called Finders Keepers. It is a documentary about an actual event that happened in 2007 that could only happen in North Carolina. It could only happen in the South. A guy buys a grill at a flea market, at an auction, and inside the used grill, he finds a severed human foot.
Ooh. Oh, I remember that story.
Remember
Absolutely,
this?
Absolutely, yes.
The mummified leg of an amputee named John Wood was found in a barbecue grill purchased at an auction by a flea marketer named Shannon Wisnant. Now, here's the problem. The story gets interesting because there becomes a bizarre custody battle over the leg.
All right.
John wants his leg back because he wants it as a souvenir. Shannon says, hey, look, I bought the grill. That leg is mine. Everything inside it is mine.
Why did Shannon want it?
No one really knows. But it was an intense frenzy of legal action and battling, and there's a feud that happened over this useless severed limb found in a barbecue in North Carolina. And so the documentary digs you behind the scenes to try to find out why the guy wanted a leg, why the old guy wanted to keep his old leg
why
after it was gone.
In the barbecue
why it was in the barbecue. All these questions will be answered if the producers of Finders Keepers can raise their budget. So if you're interested, check out Kickstarter. Get the search under Finders Keepers.
How much do they need to make, Ralph? Does it say?
80 grand.
80 grand.
Looking
All
for
right.
80 grand. Yeah.
I blew my wad on the picture of corn.
Oh, that was you and the corn photographer?
Yeah. Can't do this.
I just heard about this. Doctor said, I need to see this now. I need to get it made somehow because I need to find out why they were battling over the old wizened leg that was in the bottom of a barbecue.
That's
Who wants
awesome.
That?
Hey, I got my money refunded to me because the Diddy Blaze Kickstarter didn't make it. It didn't hit its goal. So yeah. I've got that money to reinvest. Maybe I'll go over here to Finders Keepers.
I'm just saying, I don't think we carry a lot of sway when it comes to the Kickstarter stuff. We didn't get...
I think we carry any.
We didn't get the
Can
Blaze.
We get our guy on? Can we get the movie guy on?
Yeah, I guess we can find him.
Yeah, let's try and talk to him.
I'll try and hunt him down.
We'll try to drum up some business for him. Absolutely.
But I can't wait to see this story. Probably North Carolina.
What a terrible barbecue that must have been.
but don't
this
you guys think...
tastes like foot.
The guy whose leg it is deserves it back.
Hey.
Right?
Finders Keepers.
Well, there is that. I forgot about that.
I paid good money for this barbecue. Everything that's in there is mine, including that foot.
Who's hungry?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Busta Rhymes turns 41 years old today. Timothy Oliphant from Justified. And Hitman, too, who's great in that film. 45 years old. Bronson Pinchot. Celebrates his 54th birthday. May remember him as Balky in Perfect Strangers. Cher turns 67, and singer Joe Cocker is 69. Another one of those guys had not the greatest voice in the world, Joe Cocker.
You think?
Pretty bad.
But he brings it. He sells a song like nobody else.
You are so beautiful.
Dude actually made a living singing.
You don't want to laugh at him, though, because you feel he's having a seizure and it would be unkind.
The cross.
It's a different guy, but it's pretty much the same voice.
Pretty much. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
They were one of the highlights, of course, Saturday at the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013. Amazing, amazing set from 30 Seconds to Mars. And I was surprised how many people knew the words to the songs on the brand new record,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they got some fans out there. And then all the girls jumped on stage to attack Jared. It was pretty awesome. earlier, though, we had a bizarre moment, I think, all of us sitting there in the audience, because Vampire Weekend finished, and then the stage turned, and there wasn't anybody to introduce the next act. And all of a sudden, you heard Vaseline by the Stone Temple Pilots.
Right.
And you're going, what? And then the lead singer who's standing on the drum riser facing the drummer turns around, and it's not Scott Weiland. It's Chester Bennington from Linkin Park. What? Exactly.
Very confusing.
It was a bizarre thing that happened, and we had many, many questions, so we were fortunate enough to be able to catch up with all the guys at their trailer backstage after their first ever performance as, I guess, the new STP, and we thought we'd bring some of that to you. We are deep into the night of the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 here at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Kevin, what are we doing? What's going on here? What's the deal?
Question number one is, what the Chester Bennington, STP,
together for the first time?
For the first time, but not the last.
All right, you know the questions we're all like dying to ask, so please explain. What's going on here, guys? Anyone?
You know, I came here to watch some bands play. These guys happen to be here, and we're like, let's do a set.
That's a crazy coincidence.
And then we wrote a song.
And we wrote a song
right backstage.
Yeah, we wrote a song. We recorded it on my iPhone.
How that happened?
And then. And it was it.
Well, that new, can I call it an STP song? Is that fair? That new song is called what?
It's called Out of Time.
And it is available for download right now. People
Absolutely.
Who want to get that song, you're giving it away for free for a week, which
yep.
is awesome. When did you guys first start talking about this this monster?
Well, it's about, maybe a month ago. I mean, it can't be more than
Did you guys know each other before?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we've toured together before. You know, it's been a while since we've actually hung out and seen each other, but we have known each other for quite some time.
So did you just start going through the Rolodex and it could have just as easily been Snoop Dogg? Or I mean, how did you end up on Chester?
Oh, no, there was no guessing that. There was the one and only Chester that could fill that.
You just thought, he's the man. We love this guy. We'd have a great vibe. It would sound great. Let's give him a call and see if he's into it.
We've known each other for a pretty long time, you know, and you know,
Stars aligned.
We were hoping he was going to get together and do this because there was nobody else in mind. I don't think anybody.
What was writing a new song with Chester like?
Amazing. Amazing. We all get it musically together. I mean, that's I guess, call it chemistry. But
Chester, tell me how it was different singing tonight versus singing with Linkin Park.
Every band has its own kind of vibe, you know? And I think that, you know, Stone Temple Pilots kind of has this kind of sexier, kind of more classic rock kind of feel to it. Linkin Park is a very modern, you know, very, very tech heavy type of band. And, you know, it was kind of nice. I got to really use my voice tonight. Throughout the song, I got to really sing and show my range a little bit. Thank you very much.
Golf clap.
And it was, you know, I still got to throw in a little scream in here and there, but really, you know, it's just so much different. I grew up listening to these guys, you know, probably seen Stone Temple Pilots more times.
He called you old.
You know, the C word.
It's true though, and so this for me, you know, when this opportunity came up, it was just like a no brainer.
You guys made a conscious decision to not explain what was going on to the audience tonight, right?
You came out,
Vaseline starts playing, you start playing, people in the audience, they take them a second, they go, well, wait a minute, that's STP, but wait a minute, what's going on here? Why didn't you make some sort of comment to the crowd?
Let the music do the talking. I don't think we needed to go out and explain anything to people. Just come out, play music, play songs that people love, play a new song that we love, and get the hell out of here.
Are you the lead singer of Linkin Park, or are you the lead singer of STP, or are you the lead singer of both?
The lead singer of both. As a matter of fact, yeah, we're working on a
greedy asshole
right now.
Really, I mean, you think about it, right? There aren't that many great jobs like that. Yeah. You got to take both of them.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. I'm a greedy bastard.
Yeah, tell it.
Yeah, I mean, why? If you had a choice, being one awesome band or being two,
sure.
You know those commercials where the guy's talking to the kids, he's like, what's better, one or two? And the kid's
right.
like, no! I'm like I'm a child in my mind. I think the same way.
We're lazy. We think one band, that's good enough.
That's right.
I need to sit on the couch and eat.
This is
when you're having fun, it's not work.
We are here with Chester Bennington and STP at the K-Rock Weenie Roast. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to the guys. They just came off stage after doing their first ever show together, at least in public. I'm sure there were rehearsals. But what is next? You said this isn't the last. What happens after this?
We're going to go out to lunch together because we haven't been able to be seen in public together. We've been like holed up in like the shadows and like
their dressing room
masks.
Is a porta potty here at the Weenie Roast, by the way. I mean, they were really keeping this on the down low.
What, are you going to have an album or are you going to have a tour?
Possibly both, darling.
Possibly both.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know what? I mean, there's so many good songs that we've got in the works right now. You know, the next step, obviously, we couldn't really plan a tour. Now the cat's out of the bag, so we're going to go out and make more music and go play more shows and have some fun.
As we wind down, what did the members of your band think, Chester, when you talked to them about this?
They've always been supportive of anything. We've always been very cool about guys in the band going out and doing other things.
You've had good side projects.
Yeah, you know, Mike's got Fort Minor. I've done Dead by Sunrise, Stone Temple Pilots. And everybody's been super supportive of this. You know, everybody knows that Linkin Park is top priority. It's, you know, I'm not going to sacrifice anything with Linkin Park to do something outside of Linkin Park. But that also doesn't mean that I'm not going to give 100% to what I'm doing with STP as well. So,
and my last question for you guys is, does Scott Weiland know about this?
Possibly now.
This isn't the type of thing that you reached out to him to tell him it was coming or anything like that?
He changed his numbers years ago and never forwarded them to us.
Hi, Scott. Probably hearing this right now. We got news for you. All right.
We wish nothing but the best for Scott, you know?
We all do, of course, yeah. I mean, you guys have made this an unbelievably memorable Weenie Roast, so we want to thank you for the time and thank you for being on the show. We're honored we got a chance to see the first ever show, and I hope we see you again soon. Thank you, gentlemen.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That was weird. It was really weird.
Here's a comment on the Kevin Bean Facebook page from listener Andrew. I was sitting in the middle of Loge 6 at the Weenie Roast. The guy in front of me started yelling, "I love you, Scott!" I almost told him, "Sorry, bro, that's not Scott," but I didn't want to embarrass him in front of all the people nearby. But actually, I think Chester did a great job. Yeah, it was different. I mean, you know, we know these songs so well. It was kind of odd to hear somebody else singing, but Chester is such a different performer than Scott Weiland is vocally.
Yeah.
The songs rocked harder, I thought, than they did before. Didn't you feel like they kind of really amped up the arrangements a
little
bit for
Chester?
Well,
he's such a great singer.
Yeah.
Especially for this type of music.
Well, you heard it right there, right from their mouths on Saturday night for the first ever interview here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And, you know, it sounds like they are going to now discuss album, touring, the whole deal. They did write a song together, and they did put it out, and it is available for free for download right now at krock.com. It is called Out of Time, STP with Chester Bennington from Linkin Park singing on the song. And we're going to play that for you next year on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
STP, Chester Bennington. Brand new song called Out of Time. You can download it at krock.com for absolutely free, I think for the next week.
Sounds
That's right.
Awesome.
Really, really good. I mean, it sounds like the guys from STP, and it sounds like Chester, and it's an interesting mix having them together. Of course, they debuted the brand new lineup Saturday night at the K-Rock Weenie Roast. Well, I'm falling apart, you guys. This is Bean speaking, and I may be the new Kevin.
Do you think you've worked with me too long?
I don't know what it is, dude. I don't know what it is.
Because I've been consistently bad. I started bad, and then in the middle of my career, I was bad, and now I'm bad. Bean used to be solid.
Yeah.
You may have made the better choice because no one points and laughs at you as a guy who's declining. Because they
That's
go,
true.
Well, Kevin's not bad. He's just the same as he ever was. They look at me and they go, what happened to Bean? Here's Exhibit A from a few minutes ago here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Because in a way, it kind of looked like, well, at least all is ends that, you know, whatever that old expression is about all ends that wells or however, you know what I mean.
All's well that ends well. Are you trying to say all's well that ends well?
Thank you, Bean.
That was a moment with Bean.
Wow, and you kept trying.
That was magic. That's the best part because I do that all the time too. You say, oh, that old saying. Okay, that's your out.
Right.
But then you dive right back into the pool of confusion.
Like Kevin, I'm going to come to you as the undisputed master of the moment with.
Yes.
What is a more graceful way to get out than to try to write yourself? Because that's what I was trying to do is try to save myself because if I can get it out right at the end of the sentence, then I feel like I've negated the damage.
Right. But you're also risking making it worse, which you did.
Yeah, yes. You went way over the top.
That was fantastic. It's like going back to Vegas to win your money back. Just don't do it.
Well, Unfortunately, that's not the only problems I'm having these days, too, because Friday we were recording our little promotional announcements that run over the weekend that talk about the stuff that's happening on the show, you know, on Monday or what's happening at the weekend. And I just, for the life of me, could not get my line out. And we kind of have a – it's kind of an unspoken policy when we record these promo announcements. We allow that you might screw it up a couple of times. If you screw it up a couple of times, then you get it right. That's fine.
Yes.
But if you start eating into the weekend,
because when it's 6 p.m. and we're still trying to do one announcement.
Four times, five times, six times. Now you're wasting everybody's time. And, of course, then the pressure's on the person who can't get the line right. And we're not reading. This is just something we're kind of saying off the top of our head. And I don't recall ever having as much trouble as I did with the announcement we were trying to cut on Friday.
I was pretty smooth, if I might say so myself.
You were fine.
This is on Friday. Again, speaking about the weekend, and we were talking about the upcoming, at that time, Weenie Roast. Hey, party people, Kevin and Bean here, broadcasting live Saturday at noon.
All right. And then I'll say, that's right, the sold-off K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 is happening tomorrow.
Did
from
we
the
sell it off? Has the Weenie Roast been sold off?
That's right, the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 is happening tomorrow, and we are kicking it off. For a full day from Irvine, interviewing the bands, bringing... Geez, this is a tough one to sell.
Hey, Bean, can you turn your gain down slightly, please?
What? Right, this is the best part right here.
Beer Mug's just trying to give a little technical advice. He knows what it sounds like on his end. I can't blame Beer Mug, although I do. He's just trying to make it technically sound better, right?
Bean is a little too loud.
Yes.
But listen to Bean's comeback to Beer Mug. I mean, it's pretty tough to be owned by Beer Mug. But so Beer Mug says, can you turn it down? And then listen to Bean's comeback. And then I'm just going to let the tape play again. Going back to the tape now.
Hey, Bean, can you turn your gain down slightly, please?
Why don't you turn your head down slightly?
Yes. Good one.
Yes.
How should I say this?
Backstage interviews, recaps.
Let me try it again. That's right, the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2000... That's right, the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2000...
And scene.
That's right, the... Hey! That's right, the sold-out... Why don't I start and you finish?
Nope, I already did my part.
That's right. The sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 is happening tomorrow, and we'll be there with all the backstage action and interviewing bands.
You had to say tomorrow. You couldn't say Saturday at noon. That way we could run it Friday and Saturday.
All right. I'll do it again. Yeah, right. I'll do it again. That's right. The sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 is happening this weekend. We'll bring you all the backstage access, and we'll be interviewing the bands. Plus, a complete recap. Our stories and yours. Monday... I'm going to take it again.
We don't have the kind of time. We just have, at that point, we just, we punt. We just go to Omar and go, look, try to make something out of this.
Just edit this together, make it good. You know, this is very dangerous. People know how bad the show is on the air. We can't let them know it's even worse off the air, Kevin.
Oh, they're not surprised.
No one is surprised.
Yeah, they get it.
They know that you're the king of comebacks.
Hey, Bean, can you turn your gain down slightly, please?
Why don't you turn your head down slightly?
Yes. Good one. Hey, Bean, can you turn your gain down slightly, please?
Why don't you turn your head down slightly?
Yes.
Good one.
Yes.
Owned. Hey, party people, welcome on into the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a Monday. We'll talk some more highlights from the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 just past this Saturday. And thanks again for coming out and making that show such a success. We got that coming up. Plus, we'll talk to Dustin Penner from the Los Angeles Kings coming up just after the top of the hour. We're completely jinx-free now, right? There's none of that nonsense anymore.
Well, there's nonsense.
But we've talked to lots of champions in recent years.
Of course. We talked to the Kings every round last year, and they won the Cup.
And they won the Cup. So get off our backs. Okay. First, though,
I am getting blamed for the loss in San Jose because I was not watching. I was at the Weenie Roast.
Oh.
Did a lot of that. Hey, you were watching the first two games. We won.
Right.
Go to San Jose. I'm at the Weenie Roast. People blame me. So they need someone to blame.
Pretty legitimate. Let's revisit a story that we talked about a little bit on Friday. A lot of people may not know the name of Pat Robertson, but he's a huge name in the conservative religious right world. He is a super millionaire. I think he owns the Christian Broadcasting Network, and he has a show that he started called 700 Club that has been on for decades. He gets a lot of people to send him money, and a lot of people really care what this 83-year-old man has to say. In fact, he takes he gets letters from viewers asking questions that he then responds to on the show and tells people how to live their life biblically. And he raised a little bit of controversy last week because a woman had written in on the show saying, I want to forgive my husband. I know the Bible says we should forgive, you know, turn the other cheek and all that. But he cheated on me, and I don't know how to handle it. I'm having a lot of trouble letting that go. What should I do? And a lot of people thought that maybe Pat's advice was a little old-fashioned, a little bit out of sync for the 21st century. Here's a little bit of what Pat told that viewer on the TV.
Stop talking about the cheating. He cheated on you. Well, he's a man. Okay. So what are you focusing on? You're focusing on the thing that makes you mad. Stop that. Start focusing on the good stuff. So think about those things and give him honor instead of trying to worry about it. But recognize also, like it or not, males have a tendency to wander a little bit. And what you want to do is to make a home so wonderful that he doesn't want to wander.
See, it's her fault, Lisa. That's what
that's, really
that's what I take
headed.
Away.
You need to make a better home, woman.
Yeah.
Right. Who's crazy enough to say that? A lot of
and
guys
what,
thinking,
and,
but who's crazy enough to say it?
And don't focus on the negative. Don't focus on the part where he was in a motel room with a stripper. That's not what's important. The important thing is that he has a job and he takes care of you. That's the important thing.
He brings home the bacon.
Exactly,
so shut
right.
The hell up.
That's basically his
exactly.
advice, yes.
So we wanted to find out more about this story and what else is on Pat Robertson's mind, and he joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Mr. Robertson. Welcome to the show, sir.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you? Thank you for having me on.
Sure. Well, we're fine. You raised a little bit of controversy with your views last week. Do you have any kind of response to that?
Yeah, I'm surprised people are turning to... turning so upset about everything I said. I'm just talking about the truth in God's world, that's all.
It sounded it's pretty sexist. I mean, I got to be honest. It sounded like guys wander, deal with it, and make a better home.
I think those things are true. You know, sexism is a man-made creation. I'm talking about God's will.
Hmm.
And God says men sometimes wander a little bit. They're men.
He does?
Right. Did God say, that's and that's cool?
Well, it's just how God made them, and so we need to behave the way God intended, dealing with the truths that the Lord gives us.
I see. Right. You also went on in that same response to your viewer's letter, Mr. Robertson. You also went on to say that men are surrounded by lots of temptation. There's you know, sexy girls on the internet all the time.
Yeah.
And what do you expect us to do? You know, confronted with that, right?
Yeah, it's hard to be a man in today's world because you are constantly being tempted and. None of us are perfect, and a lot of men just cave to temptation. But it's the woman's job to bring the man back into the flock, as it were, and create a home where he won't want to cheat as much.
See,
not, but not too much.
Wait, can we just get a better man?
You guys let the woman talk, do you?
We do, yeah.
That's interesting. So, we work your show.
If I just to make sure I understand here, Pat. So if I cheat on my wife and I come home, she should honor me, basically.
Yeah, well, she should reach out and touch your face, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's what you told.
Touch his face. Touch your face and remember why she loved you in the first place.
Okay.
Right.
And then create a home that's so loving and wonderful that you're not going to want to leave. You're going to want to rush home after work and not bang that secretary a second time on the desk.
Gotcha.
First time's cool.
Well, it's during lunch, I figure.
Okay. So do you get a lot of viewer mail? I have no idea how popular the 700 Club is anymore.
You get thousands of letters a week of people asking for advice using God's laws, God's world. That's what I'm here to help spread the word and to give people useful advice that comes directly from God and the Bible.
Is it possible that some of this advice comes from Pat Robertson?
No, this is I'm just a tool of the Lord.
You're a tool.
Okay. Now, are most of the questions similar to the one that was read on the air last week?
We get all kinds. And, you know, in response to people saying I'm sexist, there's a letter that came from the other side, too, a gentleman named Calvin in St. George, Utah, sent me a letter where his wife was the one who was having a relationship outside of the holy matrimony.
Okay, what was your advice for him?
And I said to him, you know, as a man, you need to recognize that sometimes women also stray.
Really?
Oh.
And you need to give her forgiveness as you would expect her to forgive you.
Wow.
And don't forget that as the man, she is your property. So,
whoa!
To protect your property, how do you keep property safe? you lock it up.
Whoa!
So if you just chain her to the kitchen, and I suggested shave her head, because not a lot of guys find a bald woman that hot.
Well, that's terrible
so
advice.
Other men won't want her if your bald wife is chained to the kitchen. Then you're sure that your property is safe.
But the woman should not chain her man to the kitchen and shave his head?
That's just crazy.
Okay.
Another letter from Arlene in Abilene, Texas, saying that her child won't clean his room.
Okay.
And that is a problem. A lot of disbehaving or misbehaving children.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem a lot of parents face in this modern permissive society. So I simply told her to stone him, because that's what they would have done in Jesus' time.
Okay,
if you have a child who will not obey you, you just hit him with rocks.
I don't think that's good advice at all.
That's not how we do it in the 21st century. Yeah, that could be
terrible
advice.
You don't hit him with a lot of rocks. I think you're misunderstanding.
Well, one's too many.
Half a dozen good-sized rocks will really get a 15-year-old's attention, I'll tell you that.
No, we're not throwing rocks at our kids. There are better ways to discipline your
children. You hit your kid with one rock. He will listen, Pat. I'm guaranteeing
it. Terrible advice.
See if I'm wrong.
You are wrong, and you've gone bye-bye.
Size rock, and I'm not saying in the head, you know?
All right,
chest,
Pat.
Pelvis, knee.
Oh, I'm glad you clarified that.
Avoid the vital organs, I always say.
I see. All right. We have to go, Pat.
Email from Alvin in Kansas City, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
His boss won't give him a raise. What does he do in God's eyes? I say, go in there, show him you're an alpha male, mark your territory, and pee on his desk.
What are you talking about? This is the worst.
Stand on his desk, whip it out, and just soak his paperwork.
These are terrible ideas.
See if you don't get that raise.
You won't get a raise. You'll get fired and probably arrested if you do that, Pat.
Johnny in California writes, I work for two douchebags who don't appreciate my questions on the red carpet.
did he write you?
What am I supposed to do?
Uh-huh.
And I just said they should fire you, bare bones.
The road to another Stanley Cup victory continues tomorrow night for the Los Angeles Kings. They are in San Jose playing the Sharks, up 2-1 right now. Dustin Penner, left wing for the Kings, is going to be joining us right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
See you into the Sens-Pens game last night?
Did not.
I did not.
Ottawa-Pittsburgh, double overtime.
Oh,
nothing better than a double overtime playoff game. They tied up the score to send it overtime with about 40 seconds left in the third period. Shorthanded.
Really? The other team's on a power play. Wow.
Pittsburgh was on a power play. Senators tied it up with about half a minute left, shorthanded. It was very exciting. And then the double overtime. So just a great, great playoff season for hockey.
During the regular season, the overtime is 5 minutes during playoffs.
And it's settled with a shootout. Yeah. They don't use shootouts in the playoffs.
20-minute overtime.
Someone's got to actually score a game, and it's for real. It gets intense.
And the Bruins are already the charmed team of the playoffs after that series with Toronto, too.
Yep.
So, crazy.
I want to remind people, this Friday night, at 10 p.m., it's the return of Hollywood Babylon. We've been off for a couple of weeks. People asking what happened to the show Kevin Smith and I do each and every week.
You guys broke up is what I heard.
We didn't break up. We had to take a little break because I was off shooting a movie, then Kevin's off selling a movie, and we had Winnie Rose this weekend. So, finally, we're getting back to business. It is Hollywood Babylon this Friday night at 10 p.m.
Saturday!
No, it'll be Friday at 10 at our brand new home. It's our debut in our brand new home, which is the Hollywood Improv on Melrose.
Oh.
So, we'll be there this Friday night. You can go to CSMOD, CSMOD.com, and just click on the banner there, and it'll send you right where you can get tickets and come out and see us. It's going to be a good time. It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Star Trek Into Darkness, as expected, took the number one slot. It made, depending on when you start counting, if you count on Thursday, its official first day of release, it made over $84 million. If you're just looking at Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's $7.6 million. However you cut it, number one numbers for
Long Live and Prosper.
Long Live and Prosper.
Ralph, yeah. Why do you suppose this movie didn't make as much as the first Star Trek in its opening weekend? I was really surprised by that.
I think there's a bigger, more competition. I mean, Iron Man 3 still made over $35 million this weekend.
Yeah,
a lot of people still going to see that.
A lot of people still spending their money elsewhere.
Yeah. And then Great Gatsby made over $23 million this weekend.
So more competitive box office. That doesn't mean Star Trek won't start really, you know, make a lot of money this weekend, too, then.
I think it'll be number one again this weekend, probably.
Right.
Yeah, and people will go. Also, I think there was a curiosity factor for the first film. People were like, how are they going to do Star Trek without Shatner and Nimoy and everybody else? This was this was a big occasion, so we'll wait and see. But I think it'll continue to have legs, as they say, in the business. Pain and Gain was fourth, then the Croods, 42, Oblivion, Mud, Tyler Perry Presents Peoples, and The Big Wedding, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. I have to get me some Beatle stuff. I got to get me some Beatle things, some Beatle memorabilia, some Beatle things.
Why?
Because it's nuts. This, in auction, this stuff still goes for insane numbers. Over the weekend, there was an odd-looking guitar that was custom-made by Vox for the Beatles. It was played just briefly by John Lennon and George Harrison a couple times in 1967, okay? So keep that in mind. That's the history of this piece. They both played it a little bit for 1 year, and then
nobody wrote Hey Jude on it or anything like that. It was just played once, okay?
Sold at Julian's Auctions in New York City on Saturday for $408,000.
Wow.
Come on. If I had like a tissue, Ringo blew his nose in once, I could probably get a couple grand.
Say you do.
That's a good point.
How can they prove it?
Can't test for boogers.
Right.
I'm not going to send it down the lab.
No booger test.
No booger test. Taylor Swift took home 8 statues at last night's Billboard Music Awards, including Artist of the Year. Well, she is a true artist. She is. Because, oh no, wait a minute. She just breaks up with dudes and writes songs about it.
You mean this Billboard Award, by the way, is one of those where you know who all the winners are going to be ahead of time because it's based on sales.
Yeah.
So you knew that she had the best-selling album of the year, so she's going to win this award. There's no drama there.
11 categories she was nominated in. She told the crowd at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, "You are the longest and best relationship I ever had." See about her fans. What she did there?
I'm going to make fun of myself
now. Oh, I get it. Now I am in on the joke, too. Ha, 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 ha. You know who wasn't in on the joke was the Biebs.
Oh.
Because he won the Milestone Award, which in and of itself is hilarious. And he's been around for 4 minutes, and he's 19, and he's won the Milestone Award.
He did get some boos, though.
Well, that was my favorite part.
That was
when
great.
He was announced, the crowd booed. Instead of just smiling and taking it like you're supposed to and rising above it, he got angry and gave the crowd a little what for, telling them how much they should appreciate him.
I'm 19 years old. I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
As long as you think so.
This is not a gimmick. This is not a gimmick. I'm an artist, and I should be taken seriously. And this all this other bull should not be spoken of.
Yeah.
Should not be spoken of.
Don't speak of my monkey, eh? Or me trying to beat up photographers. Swag, swag, swag.
Stop being a douchebag.
That would be one way to stop all the stories, wouldn't it? Would be
We're not creating the news that makes people talk bad about you, Justin.
Well, it should not be spoken of. Because he is not a gimmick, and he is an artist. And he should. You better love me. You better love me, damn it, is what he's saying. Which the world replied, but we don't. Today's celebrity birthday is Busta Rhymes. Now, there's an artist. Look at that hair. Awesome hair. 41 years old today. Timothy Oliphant from Justified, 45 years old today. Bronson Pinchot from Perfect Strangers and from Beverly Hills Cop. And from a flight that I was on recently. He was sitting right behind me and made me very nervous because he was in a movie that used to give me nightmares called The Langoliers.
Oh, I never heard
based
of that.
On a Stephen King novel. Mm-hmm. About an entire flight that just disappears into a wormhole, and they've got these creatures that eat you and stuff. And
everything.
I'm like, I'm on the plane with the guy who goes into the place that's bad. Cher is 67 years old today, and singer Joe Cocker turns 69. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So the LA Kings got a chance to come home for the weekend, get some practice in before they head back to San Jose for game number 4 on their hopefully return trip to the Stanley Cup. They're up 2-1 against San Jose, and we're very excited to welcome Dustin Penner back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Dustin, how are you, buddy?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course. Glad to have you. We got to start off with the most important thing first, and that is, did you ever find the Taco Bell waffle taco? Because I know you were very excited about it when you heard about it.
I'm chasing down a couple of leads right now.
That looks like a powerful meal, doesn't it? The waffle taco. I mean, that's almost too good to be true. And so you were asking what locations in Southern California Taco Bells have them, right?
Yeah. You probably can't even describe the taste after eating one. That's how good it looks.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, before the end of this phone call, I guarantee one of our listeners will call in and give us a couple of locations. So we'll have that for you at the end of the call. Anyway, how you feeling?
Justin is just trying to change his nickname from Pancakes, that's all.
To Waffle. Yeah.
I got a few nicknames.
Let's talk about that last game against San Jose. Some controversy with the refs near the end of the third period. You said, describe what happened, and then you also said after the game that you were going to go home and watch the tape and see if you could see it more closely than the refs did that night. But what was the problem there, Dustin? What went on, son?
Well, you know, the last minute of the game, especially a playoff game, and we were already down a man. We were already killing a penalty. And we had an offensive chance, and our guy got pushed into the goalie, which, you know, you can have that happen to your own guy, and they won't call it. So they called a penalty on us to put us down to 5-on-3, which, you know, to put a team down two men in the playoffs in a huge game in the last minute, you have to be 100% sure, in my mind, that you can make that call. And I don't think that he could have been based on what I saw in the video. So it was kind of an unfortunate call for us. Sometimes it happens, and, you know, you can't say too much more without hurting people's feelings than having them call you and fine you a bunch of money.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true. Trevor Lewis running into Niemi got pushed by Marlow, and it didn't look like it was a clear push, and it's ridiculous. But let me just ask you this, because there's so much on the line for you guys, and you've worked so hard and so long. How do you keep your cool in that situation? Everybody else, you know, the fans can boo like crazy or whatever. They could, you know, whatever they end up doing, they could throw. You guys have to be super careful about this.
Yeah, it's one of the unfortunate parts of the job. You can't really vent the way you'd like to or the way a majority of the fans get to vent at you on Twitter or social media after a bad game that you have. So, you know, you'll learn to bite your tongue and swallow a bit of pride. But that's part of the job description.
It's also part of being able to hang on and hopefully win is keeping your cool even when the ref blows it. And that's got to be particularly difficult in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's one of the two measures of a good team is being able to deal with adversity and not letting it depict how you act as a player and as a team.
Talking.
And, you know, I think we were pretty good. I mean, Quickie got upset after the game, but that was after the game. Nothing more to be done. He said we had a say, and you throw that one out after that. Like, it's just one of those things. Quickie's a very passionate player and person, and that's what makes him so good. So he's got a healthy balance, I'd say.
I love that about Quick. He'll just punch people. They come into the crease. He doesn't like it. He's just like, boom! How do you like that? Let me ask you this question. It doesn't seem like home ice, which the Kings have in this series, it doesn't seem like it plays a huge role. Even going last year into the playoffs, the Kings were great on the road. And does home ice matter a lot when it gets to the playoffs?
It definitely matters. But it's one of those things that actually can put pressure on you as a team. Because you're supposed to win those games, especially starting at home. That way, that's why as a visiting team, if you get that first one, you've already taken some of the advantage from them, obviously. And now the next game is even more important. And I think last year we won every first road game on the road.
Right.
And then, and then the pressure really bounced. And if they don't, if the next game, game two is closed, and then, you know, they end up getting an unfortunate break, the pressure weighs on the team, and you end up, you know, maybe getting a lucky goal, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, or it can be in some ways.
Right. Dustin, last year, I know it didn't seem like this to you guys because you were the guys out there playing the hockey, but to us, the fan, it seemed easy. The march through the various rounds to get to the Stanley Cup seemed easy because, you know, you guys were just – it just seemed like every series you were up 3-0. You know what I mean? We had a little bit of a scare in round one this time around, but then it seemed like you hit your groove. What did you win? 6 games in a row or something until the other night. How does that feel? I mean, does the momentum just build on itself? Like when you go on a run like that, do you guys feel unstoppable, or do you know every game the whole thing could fall apart?
You're definitely aware of that again, but you can't put together a 6-game win streak by looking at it as a big lofty goal. You just look at it as the first period of the first game. Doesn't matter if it's on the road or at home. You know, we could have easily lost one of those games in the last six, but we just, you know, just believing in yourself as a team, getting big goals, getting big saves. You know, there's a lot of small plays that lead up to big ones. It's just
right.
A lot of cliche answers I got for this.
Dustin Pedder of the Los Angeles Kings. Is it considered bad form, or do you guys sort of pay attention to how the rest of the playoffs are going, knowing that down the road, you know, hopefully you'll end up there?
Actually, yeah, that's probably the one time I do watch a lot of hockey is during the playoffs. I tend not to do it during the regular season because you get enough. You're playing every other day, and there's so many teams playing. But now, you know, it's probably the best hockey any fan's going to see.
Yeah.
It's only going to get better as the number of teams shrink.
Tyler Toffoli, a new guy this year and super young. What was it? How great was it for him? What did he feel like scoring that backhand goal in the playoffs, his first playoff goal ever?
Yeah, that was a great goal. You know, it was a great read by him. You know, it should do a lot for his confidence. I was a young guy getting called up and down during the season. I came my first year and then up to the playoffs. And, you know, it was a huge goal for us. And everybody was happy for him. Hopefully he can keep it going.
Do you think you could donate some facial hair to him?
You know what? Facial hair isn't that great. I know it looks great on me.
Here's the update, Dustin, and I'm sorry I don't have addresses for you, but the waffle tacos are currently being tested. We talked about this at the beginning of the call for folks who are just joining us and wondering why the hell I'm bringing this up. The waffle tacos are being tested in Tustin and Lake Forest right now. Tustin and Lake Forest are the only locations where they have them right now. They plan to introduce them to the menu nationwide soon. So it looks like you are going to have your shot. If those locations aren't convenient to you, it looks like it won't be too long before you'll be able to get them at all the Taco Bells.
Well, I've been working on my patience, so I think I might just hold out for the place down the street here.
Yeah. Wait till it comes to your neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you can take the cup there this summer. Would that be awesome? Take it to Taco Bell, right?
Unless there's any other competing restaurants that want to throw their hat into the ring.
There you go. I love Dustin's Twitter so much. It's one of the funniest of any professional athlete, by the way, because you know the part in your Twitter bio where you oftentimes will put a website that people could click on, you know, for more information? His is IHOP. He just has
sure.
IHOP up there. Of course he does. All right, Dustin, listen, we got to let you go. When are you guys flying back to San Jose? Is it going to be today or tomorrow?
Yeah, we have practice today. Then we fly later this afternoon back to San Jose there.
All right, man. We are fingers crossed. We're watching every minute. We love it. We're so excited. The fans are totally behind you. Let's do it again, all right?
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dustin.
Thank you. Hey, party people. Thanks a lot for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. By the way, this hour tomorrow, one of the legendary, all-time greatest rock record producers in history is going to be joining us in studio. Do you know the name Steve Lillywhite? He's produced everybody from U2 to The Killers to Peter Gabriel, Talking Heads, 30 Seconds to Mars. I mean, the guy's just got an unbelievable list of people that he has worked with. Dave Matthews, all of them. He's going to be in studio with us tomorrow, so that's going to be a lot of fun to talk to him. Right now, though, we want to talk a little bit about this past Saturday, K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013, a tremendous success. Thanks to you, we raised a ton of money for some great local charities, Heal the Bay and the Surf Rider Foundation. If you were there, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. If we can't be everywhere, let's face it, lots of stuff goes on. There's always fires in the lawn or, you know, people having sex that we don't see.
I'll give you a perfect example. I was walking back into the venue to see one of the bands, and there was a girl being taken out on a stretcher. And she was holding her face, and I just thought to myself, a lot went on right there,
right?
And I wonder what it was. I have many questions.
You know, we should start an office pool every year at what time of the day the first person gets taken out on a stretcher, because inevitably it's going to happen. It's just a question of how early. But I want to hear from people about a couple of things in particular. I want to hear if you were there, because they never said anything about it on stage, how long it took you to realize that Chester Bennington was singing for Stone Temple Pilots and not Scott Weiland,
yeah.
If you ever did until this moment. I want to hear from you what your reaction was when you saw that. And I also want to hear about, because I missed this part, because we were interviewing Chester and STP, and we'll play that for you in the 9 o'clock hour here this morning. We were backstage, so we didn't get to see the beginning of 30 Seconds to Mars. I heard a bunch of girls jumped on stage and essentially tried to rape Jared Leto, and I want to hear about that too.
It's good to be a lead singer. We were broadcasting and not doing a very good job at it. I got to be honest. Arnold Schwarzenegger stopped by and was very disappointed with our performance.
Well, yeah.
And I'm going to play just a little bit of highlights of us on the air. This is between noon and 3 on Saturday.
Well, now I come here to the Vini Roast, and I try to find maids to put a baby in. Any maids out there? Any maids?
Oh, you got a couple
of maids. There's a maid now. I'm going to put a baby in her.
Yeah.
What is she? Oh, she's a maid. I see. I got you now.
Oh, do you?
Who are you excited to see at the...
Thanks for wasting time. We have very little time here.
Who are you excited to see today, Governor?
I can't wait to see Fritz and the Nazis.
What?
No. Fritz and the Nazis.
Tantrums. Fritz and the tantrums.
First of all, it's Fitz. I was hoping you would correct me. I said Fritz.
It's Fitz.
You're supposed to say Fitz.
But Arnold, it's Fitz.
All right. You know what? I'm not coming back here anymore.
So that happened. That was not...
He berated you.
I don't blame it. Well, here's... Look, there's no defense for me. I'm terrible lately. I'm
getting worse, though. I'd like to point out.
I'm getting worse. I'm a bad broadcaster. But when he was talking about maids, especially with his accent, I thought he was talking about mates. I thought he was looking for mates. You know, like you mate with somebody.
Because he's British?
No, not that kind of mate. Oh. You mate with people when you have sex with them.
Oh,
you know?
I see. For,
right. So
but you know the story of Arnold, right?
And then it occurred to me that he meant maids, and that's what I realized pretty much hit myself in the own head. I can't explain how Fritz happened, though. I was just bad. Look, I'm not going to try to defend myself because I'm terrible, but it was a million degrees and I was dying.
1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. You hold on, Jody. She never knew it was Chester.
Oh, okay.
All right. So how many songs did they do? 8 or 9?
I don't know how much she'd been drinking up
to
that
hold
point.
On. This is us talking over a Green Day record. Talking, literally over a Green Day record.
We're bringing you all the action at KRock.com. If you want to see the bands, we're also got an interview. Wait, is he singing?
Is he singing? Wait, is he singing? And then Muggs was just, he had had a beverage.
Muggs was so plastered that when we went out on stage to bring on Vampire Weekend, we thought it would be fun to get him on a microphone. Because it's hilarity ensues, right?
And while we were backstage, I kept saying, because 30 Seconds to Mars was still coming up, mm-hmm. and the Black Keys were still coming up. So I kept trying to screw them up. I was messing with them. I was like, yeah, so make sure you don't mess this up. Remember, it's 30 Seconds to Black. 30 Seconds to, you know, whatever. We were just trying to mess him up and mess him up. And he got out there and he nailed it.
Woo!
Although his voice cracked like he's a little boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Vampire Weekend!
Tarzan yell.
He was so drunk, he doesn't even remember that. All right, we got to take a quick break. We want to take your phone calls on all things Weenie. If you were there on Saturday, what did you think about what you saw? Were you when the guy from Imagine Dragons fell off the stage in the audience? Was that you? Did he land on you, for instance? Were you one of the girls that tried to sexually assault Jared Leto during 30 Seconds to Mars? We want to hear from you. What did you think of STP with Chester Bennington? All of these questions and whatever else you want to tell us about that was going on that we missed. Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our exclusive interview with Chester Bennington and Stone Temple Pilots from After the Weenie Roast on Saturday night. We'll hear it again just after 9 o'clock this morning here on KROQ. They can explain how they came together as the new STP. We're talking about the Weenie Roast. It happened this Saturday. I got answers to both of my questions on the phone with various listeners, Kevin, starting with Jody, who's calling us on line 3 to get us going. We're taking your calls on anything we might have missed or anything neat that happened at the KROQ Weenie Roast. You can give us a call 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Jody. Thanks for calling and holding on. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm just embarrassed. I'm really embarrassed.
Because?
I never saw Scott Weiland live before, and I thought, he's made an amazing recovery. He's got his hair dark, dyed dark. And then I started thinking, you know what? It's probably not him. I could tell the difference. And I started sort of recognizing maybe it was somebody I knew. I couldn't put my finger on it, and then I looked it up online when I got home, and oh my gosh! I felt so stupid.
Well, first of all, you shouldn't have felt stupid. You shouldn't have felt stupid because they didn't give any kind of indication that it was anything other than STP. They never said anything about it. First of all, and second of all, Chester did not act like Chester of Linkin Park. He was channeling Scott Weiland, or at least some variation of that, to play for STP. It wasn't like the Chester we're used to seeing.
We were afraid people wouldn't notice. That was one of our fears.
Oh, cool. So I should be feeling brilliant now.
Well, no.
I would say brilliant. I would say brilliant.
That's an overstatement.
But I think you're more of a C student than a D student. I think we're upgrading you to that at least. What do you think of their performance? Though? I mean, are you an STP fan? And what do you think of the way those songs sounded?
I flippin' loved it. And I got to tell you, I had already sung to where I had almost no voice left. And then I just started screaming as best as I could scream when I heard the beginning of the song. I just almost died. I was so excited. It was awesome.
I'm glad. Good. Glad you like it, Jody. Thank you for the call. Out of Time is the new single. You can get it for free right now at krock.com.
Yes. Download it for free. Absolutely. Let's go to Christina. The other story that I was interested because we missed it was the girls that jumped on stage and tried to have their way with Jared Leto when 30 Seconds to Mars was on stage. And by the way, so many rabid Mars fans there. It was crazy to see how many were in the audience there. Hi, Christina. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you for having me. I was one of the girls that were up on stage. However, I was not one of the girls that were trying to molest Jared.
What were you doing up there?
Yeah, what did you get up there?
You know, how did I get up there? Actually, I got up to get a beer, and I tripped and fell down the stairs. And the guest services actually accommodated me in the orchestra section, so I wouldn't have to go up any more stairs to fall down them.
Right. You must be so hot, by the way, if you got that kind of treatment. Right?
I mean, I was there to see Mars. This happened right when STP ended, and they came out, and I was freaking out. Let me go see my band. This is why I'm here. My knee is fine. So I signed a release, and they sat me in the orchestra section, and I enjoyed the show. And when Jared said, "Who wants to come up on stage?" instinctively, I fled to the stage with my friend and hopped up there and couldn't believe I was there the whole time. I was just in awe, and I will never forget it.
You did the right thing. I mean, if he's going to say who wants to come up on stage, and you want to go up on stage, take your chance.
By the way,
my knee was fine. I took one for the team.
You know? It's so funny to think about. I mean, you go to a show and you just want to see them perform, and then you're on the stage with them. You're right. That is the type of thing you never forgot. But what was this about the other girls? What were they doing to Jared?
You know, well, everyone knows about the blonde. I don't know if she was even a fan.
Tell us about that. Tell us what happened.
I only saw the back of Jared, and I saw him flicking her arm off. And poor girl, she's been taking a lot of heat from Echelon, and it's kind of embarrassing. I would have loved to have touched him, but that's something that you don't do. I respect people's personal space, and I wouldn't want anyone coming near me like that, but...
Look, everybody by that point in the day has had perhaps a drink or two.
Right. And so. Jared is dreamy, too. Let's factor that in, right? I mean.
He is. And, you know, she got to touch him.
Yes, she did. She took that opportunity.
I had Jared on my left, and I could see his sweat, and I left my ice pack on stage, so I was there. I was up there, and I had a blast.
I'm glad you had a good time, but the blonde got a baby in her, so she wins. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
You know what we're a mere 6 days away from?
6 days away
from. What's today? From. What's today? The 20th?
Sunday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 20th, yeah. Sunday, 26th. You know what happens?
No.
Oh, just the fourth season of Arrested Development available.
Yeah! Right.
For download on Netflix. All 15 episodes. You can get them all at once.
That's right.
Watch them in a big chunk.
Can't wait.
How do you celebrate? How do you celebrate the return of Arrested Development?
Frozen bananas?
Frozen bananas is right, B.
Yes!
Today, Bluth's original frozen banana stand will be open in Los Angeles. Today in Culver City, right down the street from us, boys and girls.
Nice.
The original frozen banana stand will be there, let me tell you where, 9300 Culver Boulevard in downtown Culver City, right next to Trader Joe's. From noon today till 7 p.m. tonight, you can go down there and get a free frozen banana from the original Bluth's frozen banana stand.
All right.
The one from Arrested Development fame. But is that not enough to get you down there? Is that not enough to send you to the Bluth's original frozen banana stand to celebrate the return of Arrested Development? Do you need more?
Who said
is there
that?
More?
Why are you yelling? Who said that?
Some people might say
it
that.
It is enough. It is frankly enough.
Well, at 3 o'clock p.m., a very special member of the cast of Arrested Development is going to be there.
Oh.
And I've got her on the phone right now. She is friend of the Kevin and Bean Show. You know her.
Is it?
You
is
love
it,
her.
Is it?
She is Judy Greer, ladies and gentlemen. Oh! Judy Greer.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Judy.
Hi, Ralph.
How are you?
Oh, Judy, we missed you.
I miss you guys, too. Come at 3 o'clock today.
That's a great idea, first of all, yes. And second of all, how are you excited about participating in this and showing up with the banana stand, or is it something you contractually have to do with Netflix?
No, they asked me if I would, and I was supposed to go on vacation today, and I moved my vacation to tomorrow so I could go to the banana stand today. I'm such a nerd for Arrested Development, too. I was like, are you kidding? I mean, even if they didn't ask me to, I guess I'm working there. I don't really know. But I would still have wanted to go because I never, ever got to shoot at the banana stand.
Oh, that's a ripoff.
And if you are a fan, how often do you get a chance to be there, right? Like a piece of history from Arrested Development.
I mean, honestly, right? And I'm really excited for people to stop asking me about the new Arrested Development.
Hey, what's it going to be about? What's it like?
Well, we've seen you in the trailer, Judy, and you look, if I may say so, slightly unhinged.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm bringing her back. She is back in full force. I know, it was so crazy fun to go back. And then I saw they had a premiere like a week or two ago. And I apologize for the yard work that's happening, but they had a premiere, and I saw the first two episodes, but the first episode, and then like one later, another Jason Bateman episode, and it's so crazy. Like, no time has passed. Like, for everyone, like, everyone looks the same, the writing feels the same, like, the stories, like, it all just feels exactly like the way it was before. I'm so impressed with Mitch Hurwitz and all the cast. It's just really exciting.
Well, now the amazing...
People are disappointed.
The amazing thing about you is you were on, what, 9 or 10 episodes or something like that in the first run of Arrested Development, right?
I don't even know if that many. I forget.
Okay. But it's not like most shows where it's on the air and then it's gone. Arrested Development has remained popular even more so now since it's off the air because it's constantly been reruns, constantly been DVD and download and Netflix and everything like that. So it's almost like it's been a current show all this time. So everywhere you've gone for the past 7 years, people have wanted to know what's up with Arrested Development. It's probably been your most asked question, I bet.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, and I think it's even more popular since it got taken off the air. Because I think that was like, it was on the air right when people were starting to, remember TiVo?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, so everyone had just gotten TiVo when we premiered, and like everyone was TiVoing it. So people weren't really watching it. And then all of a sudden it was gone. And then everyone freaked out and started watching it obsessively. But it is the kind of show you have to watch the episode so many times because you miss so much.
Absolutely.
Well, now we can start asking you about the feature film. When's that coming out? When that's going on?
Oh, my gosh. I know, right? I don't know anything about that yet.
Well, we're going to keep asking you until you give us some answers.
All right. So Culver City this afternoon at 3 o'clock, the Bluth Banana Stand is going to be there right there by the Trader Joe's, and you're going to be there too. Now, do people have to pay for the frozen bananas, or are they handing them out for free, Judy?
God, that's a really good question.
They're free.
I'm not charging people. Oh, they are.
They're okay. Free, Judy, yes. Unless you want to charge people in pocket. Pocket the money. I don't blame you.
For your vacation.
Yeah.
You've earned it.
Yeah, well, I did have to spend money to change my flight, so it's not the worst idea you've ever had.
There you go. Well, what a delightful treat to have you back on the phone. Ralph, nice surprise, huh?
That's what I do.
Yay, Ralph.
Yay, me.
Yay, Ralph.
Listen, well, have a great vacation, and when you get back in town, come see us, all right?
Okay, well, I have more stuff to talk about next time.
Okay,
okay,
good.
We love you.
Okay, love you back. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, she's the best. Yeah, I love Judy Greer so much.
Every little less since I found out she's a Wings fan, Red Wings fan.
Oh, why you have to tell me that?
She's from Detroit.
So what?
I know, but still.
Well,
there's treatments you can get. There's some sort of surgery you can get.
Should someone hate you if you're a fan of Philadelphia sports franchises, if that's where you were born and grew up, Ralph?
If they're Penguins fans, yes. Look, I don't begrudge anyone hating me because I'm a Philly fan. If I'm from Dallas, then yes, they should.
It doesn't make you a bad person if you like your hometown team.
You don't understand.
Are you from Detroit and you like your hometown team?
Bad.
Yeah,
in Judy's case, yes.
We'll straighten her out. We'll fix her when she gets here.
Well, that was fun, though. Great. Great surprise.
Today's celebrity birthday is Joe Cocker, 69 years old today. Cher is
really?
67. Bronson Pinchot celebrates his 54th birthday today. You know what he does now, Bronson Pinchot, the actor?
No.
He's restoring a historical bed and breakfast.
Okay.
I think they're giving him his own show for it. I think he's going to do one of those reality shows where you watch him put in molding or something.
So he's doing the same kind of show Vanilla Ice is, then,
pretty
basically.
Much.
He's going to do a show that I'm not going to watch, you mean.
Are you going to watch
Wreck My RV or whatever it's called. Brett Michaels has it. Rock My RV.
No.
Has a new show called Rock My RV where Brett Michaels will take your recreational vehicle, your Winnebago, and he will trick it out for you. That's going to be on television.
That's a terrible idea.
Of course it is. Timothy Oliphant's 45 and Busta Rhymes turns 41. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, congratulations to our latest K-Rock winner, Ian Barrera from Winnetka. He just qualified for the Summer Sonic Festival, which is new. You haven't heard about this yet or not. Called Summer Sonic in Tokyo, Japan. Muse is there, Metallica, Smashing Pumpkins, Linkin Park, Imagine Dragons. That's wow. A hell of a festival, by the way.
No kidding.
Got tickets for you at this time all week here on the Kevin Bean Show, and then throughout the day at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10, you can get your details and get on the standby boarding list at krock.com.
Do we have time for a complete Bean meltdown moment with?
God, do we ever?
And now, a moment with Bean.
Because in a way, it kind of looked like, well, at least all is ends that, you know, whatever that old expression is about all ends that wells or however, you know what I mean.
Oh, awesome.
Are you trying to say all's well that ends well?
Thank yes. you, Bean.
That was a moment with Bean.
Wow.
Pretty sweet.
Wow.
I am in contention for the moment with champ for 2013, by the way.
I'm willing to let you have
start.
It.
Kevin had a strong start.
I've had it for every year we've been on the air. I'm willing to let it go one year.
Kevin came out and scored like 6 goals in the first period of this year.
Yeah.
But I am coming back strong in the second period.
He had like 1 a day for the first 2 weeks.
Right.
And then he trailed off. He's like, you know, he's in a slump now.
But I don't know that very many of his were as spectacular as my last two, though, Ralph.
That's right.
I think I'm hitting grand slams at this point, not to mix my sports metaphors.
You are going yard with bad.
Yes, I am. Could be my new slogan. All right, 9:40. Ralph is here for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday Kevin and Bean show. Or as I might have said an hour ago, a Monday Kevin and Bean show.
Walls and alls. Before I get to the showbiz beat, let me tell you a little something about a very cool event that I myself am hosting.
Oh.
First of all, are you excited as I am about this new movie, Now You See Me?
Yes, it looks fantastic.
About the magicians who rob banks?
Oh, yeah, that looks great.
Doesn't it look incredible?
Yeah, it really does.
Jesse Eisenberg stars, Isla Fisher, Morgan Freeman, Mark Ruffalo, Michael Caine, Woody Harrelson. What a cast this thing has. Anyway, we're doing a special screening of Now You See Me at the Arclight Theater in Hollywood. And you know how I feel about the Arclight. One of my favorite places in the world to see a movie.
That's where you always go when you want to be Kevining.
That's right. That's right, Kevin. Outside the poster of Kevin Kevining. You can get a cocktail there. You can eat a meal right there in the theater before you go see your movie. It's just the best experience in Southern California. Well, this Thursday, May the 23rd, we're going to be doing a special screening of Now You See Me. And then right after the screening, I will be hosting a Q&A with some of the stars of the film about the
movie. Oh.
So I'll be sitting down. I think Jesse Eisenberg will be there. I believe we have Isla Fisher. I think we're trying to get Ruffalo. We're going to be talking about the movie right after we see it. And the cool thing about it is, if you can't make it to the Arclight Hollywood, we will be live streaming the Q&A following the screening and to all 4 Southern California, Los Angeles Arclight theaters. So if you happen to be the Arclight in Sherman Oaks, for example, after you watch the screening, you'll see us up on the screen
and you'll be
able to watch the Q&A. So we're going to be streaming it to all of the Arclights in Los Angeles. It's a very cool event. If you'd like to go, I'd love to have you there. 5 winners right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First 5 winners who get through will get a pair of passes to come see the movie and the Q&A that's following. And if you don't get through but you'd like to attend, tickets are available at arclightcinemas.com. That's ARCLIGHT cinemas.com. So go there, get your tickets.
Go there and do that.
And do that and come see it because I think it's going to be very cool. And if this works as well as we hope it will, it'll be the first of a series that I'll be doing with Arclight. We'll be doing this with a lot of different movies. So
that's a terrible idea.
It's a great idea, first of all.
Yeah.
And second of all, it's a great idea. It's Monday. That means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Star Trek Into Darkness fell short of industry and I'm sure Paramount's expectations. They were hoping for a $100 million weekend. Instead, they got, if you include Thursday, when the movie first hit the screens, $84 million.
Long live and prosper.
Long live and prosper.
A lot of people speculating the heavy competition of Iron Man 3 and The Great Gatsby is the reason it didn't do as well as they were hoping. Well,
anytime you see a $100 million movie, the second place is $7 million. You know, something like that. It's usually a destruction.
In this case, second place Iron Man 3 made $35 million, and third place Great Gatsby made $23 million. So the
The box office dollar was spread around with those three films over the weekend. Pain and Gain, and then The Croods rounded out the top five. 42, Oblivion, Mud, Tyler Perry Presents Peoples, and The Big Wedding were the rest of the top 10. You know, Hangover 3 is coming out soon while we're talking about movies.
Yeah.
This is the end. This is it. When they say this is it, they mean this is it. Unless this makes $200 million, and then they'll find a way to do
the
Hangover
end.
4. But a very cool story from the New York Daily News today about Zach Galifianakis and his date to the Hangover Part 3 premiere. He is bringing a formerly homeless elderly woman named Mimi Haste that Zach first met almost 20 years ago.
He can't do better than that?
Well, I'm sure he could.
Oh. Am I missing the point?
Yes, you may be. He became friends with her about 20 years ago when she was homeless. They became friends, and he took such shine to her, they became such good friends, that he eventually got her a one-bedroom apartment and began paying her rent.
Wow. He's a weirdo by every standard in Hollywood. A good one, but
that's a good way to be weird.
I agree. I totally agree.
He's the anti-Kevin. Kevin just spits on the homeless.
That's right.
How dare you.
Zach has saved her life, pretty much. She now has a place to live. And Zach first met her when he was new to Los Angeles, and he moved into an apartment around the corner from a laundromat. And she was there, and she would try to help people with their laundry and survive off of the tips that they gave her. She didn't work for the laundromat. She was volunteering. But
she said, can I help you?
If she helped you with stuff, she was hoping you'd give her a couple quarters or whatever, and she was homeless, and that's how she would keep body and soul together. So he helped her out by getting her an apartment and getting her squared away with rent and utilities, and they've been friends ever since. So he is going to take her to the premiere of Hangover Part 3.
How about that?
She is, I believe, 84 years old. I can't find the age.
Seems like
now,
there are no
I
Zach.
She's in her 80s.
There are no Zach Galifianakis stories that aren't awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems
Everything
to be a real good guy.
He's like Bill Murray.
Yeah. Bill Murray's also a strong dude.
I don't want to taint this story with my
then don't.
My creepiness, but
then don't. I have to ask.
Dude,
I
mean, she's hot?
No, she's not putting out.
He is paying her rent. I mean, it's the least she could do, right? Come on,
all
who's
right.
with me?
That's creepy.
Who's with me?
Zero people.
Yeah, no one.
While we're talking about Zach, he revealed to Conan O'Brien last week that he's quit drinking. He saw the light after a scary altercation in Manhattan. He told Conan that he had gotten into the whiskey that night, as he calls it, and was walking home with his headphones on, got cut off by a jag. It was his fault. He was listening to music, wasn't paying attention where he was going, but he almost got hit by the jag. He smacked the back of the car in frustration as they went by. That's when two huge men got out of the car.
Whoa.
Started to threaten him, spit in his face. He said he tried to finish the argument by tossing an empty beer bottle at the vehicle as they sped away, but luckily he missed the car. He can't imagine what they would do to him if he actually had hit the car. So he said maybe it was time for him to slow down on the booze. Wonder what's going to take for Kevin to learn his lesson.
How dare you?
What's going to happen? Never. I think never is the answer to that.
Probably.
Kevin is not the one who was throwing him back on Saturday. I just like to point out, by the way, there was somebody else who was doing his share of the drinking on Saturday at the
I was
rest.
Doing more than my share.
Certainly wasn't Kevin.
Throwing him back and throwing him up. Right?
Well, when I got home.
Okay.
Yeah. That was more sunstroke, I think, more than anything.
We didn't talk about this at all in our recap, but Ralph drank the largest lemonade/vodka beverage that I've ever seen. It was like a double gulp.
Yeah.
And how fast do you think he drank that, Kevin?
It was like a shot. He just tilted it up and was done.
It was all lemonade. It was mostly all lemonade.
Mostly all lemonade.
Lemonade and ice. Just a kiss of vodka.
Right. That's not how you described it at the time. I just remember, I'm a little wobbly right now. I just remember that.
Oh, yeah, there was that.
Yeah, I also, genius that I am, decided to forego the sunscreen at the Weenie Roast.
What was I thinking?
What was I thinking?
After all these years you would learn.
No one hates the sun more than Ralph.
It's cool. And I said, well, usually there's an overhang that protects us, and I'll just duck in and out of the shade all day, and I'll be fine. I mean, I forgot. Well, I was intended on doing it, but I forgot to bring it down to the hotel. And so I said, I can just dodge the sun for the remainder of the day. And
it's easy to dodge the sun.
Then it'll be sundown. It'll be sundown, and I won't have to worry about it. Well, I got so crispy, I started to get the shakes and headaches and dizziness. I mean, I got my sun sickness that I get sometimes when I get too much sun.
Wow.
So it was a bad evening.
That's the exact same thing that happened to Dan from Imagine Dragons, is he tripped at the end of the set and fell into the pit, sort of dove-like, but tripped, and they had to give him, you know, too much, it was too much heat.
They gave him an IV?
They had to give him an IV and bring him back. He's fine, but he felt really, really bad after doing his set in the sun.
That sun is deceptive.
Yeah,
especially when
it
is. It's cool out.
Definitely.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, those poor bands in the afternoon. Atlas Genius and all those guys staring right into the sun.
Just baking. We gotta do that indoors. We gotta do that summer event indoors next year.
Oh, it's fun outdoors.
That's why I love Acoustic Christmas. Nice and cool and dark and indoors.
Remember when we went to the running of the bulls in Vegas?
Oh, still one of the worst days of my life, bar none. It was 400 degrees. It was literally 400 degrees.
It was so hot.
I got the sun sickness that day too. I was just raw. I got the chills. It's like I get the flu. The sun hates me.
It does. But you know
I'm
that.
The opposite of Superman.
You know the sun hates you.
Yeah, I know.
Something about the pasty Irish heritage, I guess, Ralph.
Can't beat the sun.
Hell, mother!
That's what I said. That's what I said when I was...
Then the sun had the last word.
When the sun was beating on me. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Joe Cocker is 69 years old today.
I said Cocker and 69.
Cocker, 69. Cher, 67. Bronson Pinchot celebrates his 54th birthday. Timothy Oliphant is 45. Busta Rhymes...
Come on. I think a longer clip is in order. That's not representative at all.
That's your Busta clip?
I don't have any idea how that happened. It only played one beat. Let me try again.
Here we go now. And you know every time Busta Bust be holding the fort, my scotch, I'll be shutting it down. The way we put it on, coming through like a steamroller, me and Drex. Ain't no effing around. Come on. Yeah, what up? Me and my team got a link, because you know we stay chopping it up. And when we get up in the club, all I'm up to look at the bar, I'll be knocking it up. And we get a little high, and we get a little drunk, and we get a little drunk.
Slow it down. Is he the fastest rapper in the world?
He must be.
Has anyone
ever
clocked him? He's got to be up there. He's 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, we have a brand new show with Ed Cunningham, who we asked for today. How does this work, Ralph? This is the guy that's doing Finders Keepers.
Producer of the documentary Finders Keepers about the people in North Carolina battling over a severed leg that was found in a barbecue smoker in an auction. The original owner wanted it back, and the new guy made a freak show out of it. He would charge people $1 to come see the leg in the smoker.
Sweet.
And he didn't want to give up his income.
Oh, I see.
There's a buck a person in North Carolina, I'm sure, is a healthy amount. So we're going to talk to the guy who's making that documentary.
Another My Strange Addiction, a woman who snorts baby powder.
Well, sure.
Support
in a storm, right?
Super producer Steve Lillywhite will be in the studio. And we have tickets for the LA Kings playoffs. The home game, game five, is Thursday night. We're going to give you tickets for that. Game four is tomorrow night in San Jose. And that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.